T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
At AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask John Ritchie, we answer.
Ask Me Anything, sponsored by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and over 200 pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com.
Seltzer, what do inquiring minds want to know today?
All right, let's start it off here with a question from Jude Baker on Twitter. Jude says, there can be no other bell ringer for Game 3 than Jay Wright, right? If not Jay, who should be the bell ringer for Game 3?
Boy, that would be something.
Can you imagine?
What about Kelce and Fletcher?
What about Saquon Barkley?
Oh, nice.
Good winning answers here.
Yeah, the problem is maybe too big. I mean,
you can't. How many games you got? Lose the Saquon Barkley game, and he's from New York. Not from New York, but came from New York. Maybe it's a bad omen.
Yeah. I kind of like that. It's kind of like we got your guy.
No, that's it's true. Good. It's good because it's showing his true allegiance. Hey, he was up there with you guys for a while, but he's now come home. The prodigal son's returned where he belongs. Look who we have. Look what we've got. Boo you.
All right, I go Aaron McKee. I need to charge this thing up. I need a sixer. I need someone who's not, Doc and AI, because I'm going to save them for the finals.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I'm going Aaron McKay. Aaron McKay is my guy tonight. All right.
Fun question here from John from Philly Fanatic on Twitter. He says, John, at what point in your life did you find out from coaches, scouts, or did you just know on your own at some point that you had a real shot to make the NFL? Was there a specific moment you remember it happening in high school, Stanford, Michigan? When did you know?
Great question.
There were so many moments that were movie-like moments. I show up to third period, and they say, hey, go down to the film room, and there's Bill Walsh.
Wow.
In the film room.
That is amazing.
No big deal.
Hey, John, dinner tonight, Joe Paterno is going to come over. John.
That's weird.
It is. It really is weird. And the part that was, so validating is they tell you where you stand the whole time with all the recruiting magazines and publications and everything. So being the number one fullback in the country, back when fullbacks really did count, that was a position, and it counted just as much as all the other ones.
That's right.
It meant that you had options, and it felt really good.
That's amazing.
And I knew as a, 16-year-old that I might have a chance because I kept growing and I kept getting stronger and I was working hard, and it felt like the results were coming in. If I'm the best at this in the country, I might have a chance at the next level.
That's really good stuff, man.
That's awesome.
I like that.
Great question. All right, let's do one more. This is from Tim Yost on Facebook. He says, if you could choose your final meal, what would it be?
Oh, God. Maybe something that I know would get me sick so I could get a reprieve. you can't kill the sick guy. No, make me ill.
Get a few extra days.
So something that gets me, I don't want to say near death, that'd be too far, but something that puts me in a position get to the governor for another couple weeks. You can't kill the guy who's sick.
You take a little pity on the guy who's sick.
You can't cut the NFL player who's injured. You can't cut him. It's against the rules.
Yeah, but do you want your last, week of life to be nauseous?
Not going to be my last week. I'm getting the reprieve from the governor.
Good attitude, right?
Whatever that thing is that gets me sick, that's what I want. John, what do you want?
Something that takes, how about hard shell crabs so it takes me 3 days? I could make
okay,
it take
strategic
a
answers.
Week
this is, yeah.
to go not, through a bushel of hard shell
crabs.
Most
people are like, what's your favorite meal is the question.
Fine. Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
Really?
All right. Hey, love it. Love it.
You're going to love London then.
Bang.
Big
bang.
That'll work. And with that, we shut it
bang!
Down.
Bang!
All right, let's get to Malik calling from Mount Airy. Get near that NFL draft. Get near game three tomorrow night. Good morning, Malik.
Good morning. I want to say something real quick about the Sixers. Listen, we got hosed, but that game two proved to me what it takes and the difference between a great player and an okay player. And Joel is not a great player. He's an okay player. Because the great players say, you know what? You just fouled my man. Okay, give me the ball in the fourth quarter. Get out of my way. I'm going to score every single time down.
Malik, he doesn't have it in him right now.
That's why I said he's an okay player.
No, but this one's a little different. I mean, he did have a pretty serious injury, and he's not all the way back. I mean, he's just not.
Okay. Listen, eventually we have to stop doing that for him. Because every year, it's this, it's that.
I know.
Listen, Michael Jordan played with a 102-degree fever. Did he say, we couldn't beat the Jazz tonight because, I ate some pizza and I was throwing up all night and I still got a stomach flu? No. He went out there and scored 38 points and scored pretty much the game-winning basket. And literally – almost passed out on the sideline, as he said in the Last Dance. Yeah, that's what I mean. Sometimes I don't care what's going on. It's my team. It's on me. I got to make it happen. Now, let's move on to the Eagles.
Yes.
I believe I want the Eagles to go defense, but everything in my head is telling me if we say I expect out of Howie Roseman, we're going to go get that lineman – that's going to be a two-year project from Alabama. That's what I'm praying that doesn't happen. But, I mean, that's the script when it comes to Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. I hate to say it, but that's what they do. They'll go get a lineman. And then they'll come on there and be like, well, this is what we see. We're trying to build from the inside out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're giving up 300 passing yards and the most touchdowns in the league.
Yeah, but Malik, here's the one thing I'll say on the lineman thing. I don't think it really applies to when they have two tackles under contract for years to come. I really don't. I mean, when they drafted Andre Dillard in 2019, you knew the Jason Peters thing was coming near the end sometime soon. I don't see Malott and Lane Johnson coming to the end sometime soon. Not too soon. So I'll be disappointed if it's a lineman, and frankly, I don't think it will be. Malik, give me a great answer, a fight scene in a movie.
Even though you pretty much punch me in my gut with Rocky, I'm going to give you Fight Club because nobody talks about Fight Club.
Nice.
All right.
I love the answer.
Yeah. I love Fight Club.
Is there a specific
fight? I think probably there are multiple Fight Club scenes. I guess he didn't pick one of the Fight Club scenes.
No, I got to ding him quite a bit there. I mean, did I ask for a movie?
Well, he is right. You can't talk about it. So he already broke the rules a little bit. You know?
215-592.
Did you like that movie, Joe?
I did enjoy it. I only saw it once, but I liked it. I didn't love it. I'd heard so much about it before I saw it. I think it was one of those things I heard too much.
It was a big deal when it came.
I know
like
it was
a thing, yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It was one of those, if you saw it after word got out,
yeah.
You know, like Sixth Sense,
like
Blair Witch.
Usual Suspects, those type of movies.
You had to have a sweet spot of watching.
The Crying Game.
True.
Sure.
That,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Blair Witch was another. If you knew that it wasn't, like, people
thought
it was real.
I thought it was real. I did. All right, up ahead, what Stephen A. said about the end of the 76ers game. Russ Tucker joins us. Deep dive on the NFL draft. Plus, the NFL with ESPN. ESPN's got their final mock draft of all their experts weighing in. We'll get to that and more. Your phone calls, too. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
She's your mom. She loves you unconditionally, and she's going to love pretty much whatever gift you give her. That's why she deserves something uncommonly special. Colonial Marble and Granite remodel my kitchen. Finished product looks great. The entire experience, tremendous. From selection through installation, no one can beat Colonial Marble and Granite selection. And they've got a real passionate team making the entire process a breeze. Right now, save 20% off fully installed countertops and a free stainless steel sink starting at $1,999 at the Colonial Marble and Granite Mother's Day sale. To take advantage of savings like these and to explore our region's most extensive selection of natural and engineered stone, visit a Colonial showroom in Philadelphia, Harrisburg, King of Prussia, Newcastle, or Edison. Don't make her wait. Your mom's love is eternal, but this sale ends on Sunday, May 13th. Colonial Marble and Granite, the cornerstone of a beautiful home. For terms and details, please visit.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pearl Jam action for you on a Wednesday morning. Got a lot going on in Philly sports. I'm glad the Sixers have the extra day for game three, because you want all the time you can get for Joel's knee. So game three, not tonight, but tomorrow night at the Wells Fargo Center. You know, last night in the Phils, in an otherwise forgettable game, I got to say, that catch by Rojas, it was pretty good, man. It was really, I mean, have we seen better? Sure. Is that one of the better types you're going to see? Absolutely. I mean, that was a great catch. He covered a lot of ground, went up to the wall, went up pretty high. I mean, he's...
Most guys don't even touch that ball.
That's right. Yeah.
He makes catches that other people simply cannot. He makes them possible. He's going to get used to it. Like, that's what he does out there. He makes the impossible possible.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive. We'll talk to Ross Tucker in 10 minutes. Ross on the NFL draft in 10 minutes. Speaking of the draft, let's get to something Daniel Jeremiah said, because, you know, Jeremiah, obviously one of the top national draft analysts. For him, it's with the NFL Network. And he's been talking a lot about the Eagles and cornerback. Now, of course, we've had discussion about the Eagles and corner at 22. Now there's increased chatter about the Eagles perhaps moving up for a cornerback into the teens. Here's Daniel Jeremiah. This was when he was on John Clark's podcast talking about the Eagles and the corner position.
You know, it is staring you right in the face with that need. And I, you know, I like some of the, you know, there's some intriguing corners outside the first round, but I do think there's a drop off from those top handful of guys. So if I was going to lean in one direction, I'm leaning towards corner. You know, if you know, where we are right now as we march towards the draft, if I was going to put in my guess on the Eagles, I would say it is one of the Alabama corners, whether or not that's, you know, where they are or whether they have to move up a little.
All right, so, John, you know, Bama cornerbacks, obviously we've talked about them. I mean,
well, he's talking about Kool-Aid McKinstry,
right,
or this Terrion Arnold, who I really like. I really like Terrion Arnold. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's the one who showed up at the combine, and they determined that he had a break in his foot, I think it was. Not as high on him, but those are the two starting cornerbacks for Alabama. You know they are qualified. You know they've run pro-style defense, zone and man. They can do it all.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're dependable. These guys both have the goods. But then Quinyon Mitchell is a guy from Toledo who might surpass both Alabama cornerbacks with his just natural talent, the God-given ability that he's got to get out there and explode and, you know, leap vertically, explode horizontally. His 40 time is a 4.3 as compared to a 4.5 for Terrion Arnold. Just a more explosive but less refined gem in Mitchell.
Well, more on the draft with Ross Tucker in about 7 or 8 minutes here. Let's go to the phones right now. Sixers, what do you make of what Embiid saying the Sixers will win the series? That was quite a declaration. Phillies from last night, obviously the Eagles tomorrow night is the draft. Tony in West Philadelphia. Hi, Tone.
Hey, man, how y'all doing today?
Doing great, Tony.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. It would be foolish for the Eagles to move up. The best, because what I'm going to do first is A.D. Mitchell. They need a three-receiver set. A.J. Brown, I don't like his antics, but he's a physical specimen. And you got Devontae in the slot. You need another receiver. A.D. Mitchell from Texas is the smoothest route runner with the softest
hands. Tony, how about this? Let me say this. You could use another receiver. You don't need another receiver. Like, I need on defense, man.
Listen, are you kidding me?
Like, I got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, and you're telling me it's a position of need?
Let me finish. Let me finish my point.
Go ahead.
Okay. The fact is, when A.J. Brown went down last year, what happened? The offense was stagnant. They couldn't move at all. Right? So you need another receiver. That receiver is sitting there. The best corner in this draft, Fangio does not like to blitz, which means you need cover linebackers and corners that can cover. The best cover cornerback in this draft is Jabbar Muhammad from Washington. Watch his highlights. And then you come back with Kalen Bullock. Now you got a secondary that's solidified. And then you get your linebackers that can cover. Because he does not like to blitz. I'm a Dolphin fan, and Fangio was with us, but again, he didn't put enough pressure on the quarterback, which is why they got rid of Hassan Reddick. So now you got to get cover linebackers, corners that can cover, and a good secondary. The Eagles got 9 picks. They don't need to move. They don't need to do anything. Sit where they are, but make the right pieces, the right selection. You get A.D. Mitchell. You got your 3-receiver set. And then in the third round, you pick up the replacement for Saquon Barkley and Audric Estime.
All right, Tony, give me a great fight scene in a movie. You can win the gift card.
You're too young. You won't remember this, but there was a movie, The Bell, with Sidney Poitier, the fight scene with the Vikings.
Okay. You got it, you know, Tony, for what it's worth, I have seen movies before I was born. Now, that one I have not, so I give you half credit. I could call Tony.
He's talking about a guy. We have seen lots of movies.
You know, The Godfather, too. Before I was born. Gone with the Wind, before I was born.
That Mitchell guy,
yes,
the
sir.
Texas wide receiver, I love everything about him, like measurables-wise. He's got the length and the speed, the explosion. I just don't trust his hands. He's saying, go get that guy in the first round? I don't even think – well, I don't know where he's going to go. I think the big question with him is, can he pluck it with just his hands? You know, fingertip catching as opposed to – body catching, cradle it against your entire soul. I need hands, guys. I don't think he's one of them.
Hey, congrats. Got to go out to Tyrese Maxey. If you missed the news yesterday, Tyrese named the NBA's most improved player. It's quite an accomplishment for someone who last year, and frankly over the last couple of years, had already established himself as a great player. So it's a hard jump to make, and very few have made it from great player to still then becoming the most improved player, which means you got to become, like, really great. And Tyrese accomplished that, you know, with his play this season and officially getting the award yesterday. So congratulations to Tyrese Maxey. Obviously, a couple games into the playoffs, he has not disappointed this playoff run. Now, look, he struggled in the one-off versus the Miami Heat. He did struggle in that game, and they were lucky to survive a game in which he was pretty quiet. But the first two games here against New York, I mean, he has really delivered over 30 points both games. He's obviously turning a lot of heads on a national level. He deserves a lot of props for his progress. It was a draft pick. You can make the case, if not for this pick, I mean, they might have been out on Joel already because Joel might have been out on them. Like, imagine a scenario where they don't get Tyrese Maxey in the 20s, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever year it was. I think it was 2020. If you don't have Tyrese, you got nothing with Joel. So that draft pick might have saved Joel's presence even here in Philadelphia and still having a shot. Let's go to Jamal right now. Good morning, Jamal.
What's up, Jamal?
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Let me give you the fight scenes first.
Okay.
Bronx Tale. Now you can't leave.
Great answer.
Now you can't leave. Okay. And the Sixers.
Jamal, can I just say one thing about that scene? There is a flaw in the scene. So
that the biker should have jumped him quickly?
Well, pretty much.
Yeah, right?
They could have pummeled Chaz. The other flaw is how do those big burly guys in the mob know to come bursting through the door at the exact nanosecond that they do? I don't know about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Sonny whispers in the Jimmy Whisper's ear, go get him ready. And he...
Yeah, but they still come through right at the exact perfect moment, and like
movie magic, John.
I don't
suspend a little disbelief for movies.
Well, it was in the script, Joe.
Oh yeah,
you're not in the mob, so I mean, you got to be in the mob to know that.
All righty, all right, Jamal, what do you got on the 76ers? Talk to us.
What's up with Embiid? He's guaranteeing victory.
Well, he didn't use the word guarantee, but it's essentially the same thing. I mean, he said the Sixers are going to win. He put it out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to put my money on that.
Well, at this point, I would not. Jamal, appreciate the call. You still think they will win?
Yes, I think things will change. I think we will all feel very different, very differently after two games here at home when the series is tied 2-2 and they're heading back to New York and we've seen what it looks like. When, you know, Brunson is quasi-contained because they've done a pretty good job in the first two games. You know, mixing
Can I say something real quick on that? I heard a stat, and I don't remember the exact year. It was back in the 1950s. I heard that Brunson has the lowest shooting percentage of anybody with anywhere near that many shots in the first two playoff games since the 1950s in the NBA playoffs.
I mean, it feels that way watching it. It feels like
the last game, he was 8 for 27, and game one was some other disaster.
And it hurts that the Sixers have not capitalized.
That's correct.
Such a shame. It's
a killer.
But look, I'm telling you, it's going to be a completely different feel here, and it's easy to forget how it's going to be a completely different feel here. Those two games, like, that's the norm. You look around the league, that's what happened. The home teams won.
But you got to win up there.
That's when the Mavs win.
At some point, you got to win there, man.
I know.
I mean, and you do.
I know. And at some point, we've been waiting all along for this. Joel needs to ignite. I do think that it's a great sign that Joel's the one who said, basically, we're going to go win this series now. Yeah. Because he's the one who needs to own this, and he's the one who needs to steer the ship.
Well, I'll just say this, and we referenced this yesterday. I'll say it again, and then we'll get to Ross Tucker in a moment. There's only two ways you can win the series. Option one is you got to win four in a row. Or option two, you got to win three out of four and then win game seven in New York. It's the only two ways you can get there. It's the only two ways the math works. So, you know, to win four in a row, not impossible, but extremely difficult. And option two, you know, requiring to win a game seven in New York. I mean, I'm doing this off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure the last time the Sixers won a decisive game, be it a game five in a five-game series or game seven in a seven-game series, on the road to win a series in the playoffs, I believe, was 1982 when the Sixers beat the Celtics in game seven. So, like, there's not great history, you know?
I mean, and they've also literally – I don't want to be a downer here.
Toronto?
They've never come back from a 0-2 down.
That's right.
Yeah, they've never. 0-14.
Yeah. Some would call that 0-14.
As soon as I said it, 0-14. Sorry.
All right. Ross Tucker joins us.
It's synonymous.
Thank you, John.
It's like when John gives the score back.
Yes.
Hey, like, what's the score of the Phillies?
It's like
2-5.
It's still the same.
Yeah. Phil's
numbers.
Phil's lost 2-5.
What?
Huh? What?
You guys act like.
Yeah, it is weird.
You've cornered the market.
It's weird.
All right. Coming up in one minute, Ross Tucker on the NFL draft. In 1 minute. Hey, baseball season obviously upon us. We're just about a month into the season now. And from driving your kids to practice to the ballpark and down to the stadium here, the whole deal, make sure wherever you drive in a car that is serviced by United Tire. United Tire and service. Don't let the name United Tire, which they frequently go by, don't let United Tire fool you. Yeah, all the tires you could use and need, but also service as well. From oil changes to state inspections and everything in between, the highly skilled technicians at United Tire, they're happy to work around your schedule no matter the make or the model. Let United Tire help get your car in gear for the long haul. And they know what you want. You want to drive your car for a long time, get past those payments, and drive it for years with no payments. Well, the way to do that is great car care, and that is what United Tire provides. So don't drive alone. Drive United with United Tire. Get to their website, unitedtire.com. That's unitedtire.com. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk some football with our next guest. Ross Tucker obviously does a sensational job, not only covering the Eagles, the NFL, but also the college kids approaching the draft. Ross, an Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Joe, John, everybody, Devin, Rhea. I'm finally moving on from Monday Night Sixers game and happy to talk Eagles.
Yeah, Ross, that was an all-timer, and we appreciate you moving from yesterday to today. You know, we for those that don't know, we initially had Ross scheduled yesterday, and it was like there's just no way we could do deep dive after that game. So Ross, I want to go draft, but before we specifically draft it up, I want to go to the news the Eagles got yesterday on Isaiah Rodgers. And curious how you think this impacts draft and draft strategy. So for those that don't know, Rodgers, a player who had been suspended for the entire 2023 season. He had been a Colt back in 2022. In 2022, Pro Football Focus named him the fifth best cornerback in the entire NFL in 2022. He gets dinged a whole year for gambling activity. Howie Roseman swoops in during last season and trades for him. And he was reinstated yesterday. Ross, simple question. How good is he?
I think he's pretty darn good. And, you know, I feel like so often I come on and I, like, praise the Eagles front office. So if you want me to talk about Jalen Reagor or any of their bad moves, I can do that too. But, you know, the fact that they got this guy last August, when everybody else was just, like, thinking, oh, well, he's suspended for a year, the Eagles were thinking ahead. Why not get a guy that played really well in 2022? His contract will toll, meaning he doesn't get paid a dime. So we'll have him for like $1.1 million in 24. And I don't know that they knew this, but this guy's an unbelievable kick returner. I don't know if you guys have talked about that.
Yeah, a little bit.
I did a couple of his games when he was at UMass. He had, I got to look it up. He had to have had at least 3 to 5 kick return touchdowns at UMass. He definitely had at least one for the Colts. So right when they changed the rule so that basically we're going to have a ton of kick returns, the Eagles might have a top 2 or 3 kick returner in the league. I mean, most of these teams are going to put 2 guys back there because of the way these teams can do it. So it'll probably be Covey and Isaiah Rodgers back there. It's just, I don't know that the Eagles were thinking about that part of it, Joe. I think they just kind of got lucky, but that's awesome. So what I would tell you is he is sort of like some of these other guys that they've gotten, sort of like the Hennessy kid they got that's a center guard. To me, he gives them a baseline veteran at the position. In other words, if Bradbury is bad again and the young guys like Ringo aren't ready, the Eagles now know they have at least a competent professional NFL cornerback.
Does it change their strategy entering tomorrow night?
No, I don't think it can. You know, I mean, he didn't play at all last year. I don't think it can because
I think people think this guy's a star, Ross. Like, I think when we talk about Isaiah Rodgers, like, it was sort of a forgotten ideal. He's stashed and he's going to come back eventually. Now he's back. I think we all hope that he just drops right into that starter spot.
Well, yeah, I'm disappointed with your answer.
Been a starter in the past.
Yeah, Ross, your answer bums me out because, look, candidly, it's not like in 2022 I was looking when I saw a random Colts game, like, let me see this Isaiah Rodgers guy. But when I see the Pro Football Focus named him the fifth best corner, I'm hoping that he's a plug-and-play starter.
And here's the
thing. And it doesn't sound like that's what you're saying, Ross.
No. And, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think after the suspension came down, I think the Colts cut him, right?
The Eagles traded for him.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's a little bit different. But still, I guess what I would say to you guys is if he's what you are hoping he would be, Joe, if the Colts felt that way, I don't think they would have traded him to the Eagles for peanuts.
Unless they thought he was a total knucklehead. I mean, he gambled on Pro Football games.
Right, in either case, right, he doesn't affect the Eagles' draft strategy. this year.
So let's.
I think they're excited to have him.
Yep.
I think they're hopeful, but their draft strategy, and you know this, it's they're trying to draft the guy in the first round for the next 10 years, not for the next 10 months.
Yeah, this guy's a sixth round pick. Now he's had 10 starts over 3 years in the league. I don't know what the circumstances were behind those starts. Maybe it was, you know, he was thrust into action because of injury.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's probably the case.
Well, he probably started more year three than year one. I mean, we could look it up, but I'm assuming he got off to a slow start, got a shot, and proved himself.
Well, he's 5'10", 170.
Last year. 5'10", 170. He went to UMass. I mean,
Yep. All right, Ross, let's get to the strategy.
Yeah.
What should Howie Roseman's strategy be specifically in the first round tomorrow night?
Well, obviously, and you know this, that's always hard to say depending on how they come off the board. I think that if one of the guys that we all would be so fired up if they got, one of the top two corners or one of the three offensive linemen that could start at guard and then play tackle, Latham, Fuaga, and Fatanu, if one of those five players is within striking distance, I think we would like to see – I would like to see how he pounce.
Hey,
kind of like he did with Jalen Carter, you know, kind of like he did with Jordan Davis – even Devontae Smith, right, where they jumped ahead of the Giants.
Yeah, me too.
If one of those five guys is there, I don't know, Joe, if it's or John, if it's 15, 16, something like that.
You're saying cornerbacks are Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those five guys, those three offensive linemen that can kind of do double duty or one of those two corners, and they went up and they got one. You know, I really don't care that much what they would give up. They have 2 second-round picks. But if they were able to move up and get one of those players, I'd be really excited, feeling like they killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah, that feels good.
Both short-term and long-term.
Ross Tucker with us here. So, Ross, if the Eagles – tell me if this statement is accurate and it relates to how the players are perceived. If the Eagles make a selection of pick 22, the town will be disappointed. Accurate?
I don't think that's accurate. I think it depends on who they get at 22. Here's the way the town works, and every town, right? Like, yep. I go on a bunch of different stations, you know, all over the country or whatever. This is how it basically works. If the team that you're a fan of takes a player at the position you want them to take a player at, that you saw ranked higher,
right,
or that you saw go higher in mock drafts, you're happy, right?
Like, for
if
sure.
the Eagles get any of those five guys I named, you're happy.
But they're not getting them at 22, right?
Right. If the team, well, maybe we'll see. If the team takes any other player, you're not happy. I mean, that's every city. That's every fan. If they take somebody a different position, Eagles fans won't be happy. If they don't get one of those five guys, Eagles fans will probably be disappointed.
All right. I mean, so
if
let's
they take a guy that, especially Joe, if they take like a Amarius Mims.
Right.
Or a Tyler Guyton, if they take a guy that they don't project to play guard and might have to sit for a couple years, that is very frustrating. I mean, remember the reaction to Jalen Hurts? People were not happy.
Yep. No, I hear you, and I agree with you. And so, Ross, my thing is, you know, we're seeing more and more now stories are coming out. Tony Pauline's got a report out there about the Eagles are really actively trying to move up. I guess my point is those five players you said, and they're the same – five players a lot of people have referenced. If you had to make a prediction, will one of them be there at 22, what would be your answer?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wouldn't shock me. Everybody's boards are different. You know, there's people I saw where Schrager from NFL Network and Fox Sports, he thinks six quarterbacks are going in the top half of the first round.
That would
Pelissero
be great.
Pelissero said he thinks six quarterbacks are going in the first round.
Helpful
that
for
would
us.
Be amazing for the Eagles. There's a bunch of other good linemen, Joe, and there's a bunch of good receivers. So what happens is, you know, if five or six quarterbacks go, if all the receivers go, and if the linemen that come off the board are Fashanu from Penn State, maybe Mims from Georgia, Alt from Notre Dame, then I do think it's a possibility that one of those old linemen are there. In fact, I've seen enough mock drafts there where Terrion Arnold or one of these linemen still ends up being there when the Eagles pick at 22. Not a lot of them, but I've seen a few where it's definitely a plausible scenario.
All right, what about one of the defensive tackles? I mean, it's incredible. There's two different defensive tackles supposed to go right around, right in front of the Eagles. They lost Fletcher. They lost Hargrave two seasons ago. I still see it as more of a need than people are talking about. Is this the wild card that people aren't putting enough time into?
No, it's not, because the one guy that's an absolute star, Byron Murphy from Texas, everybody I've talked to, he's not going to be there when the Eagles pick at 22. I mean, there's some talk he might go 8 to the Falcons now. He's going to go in the top 15 picks, so forget him. So then it's the Newton kid from Illinois. I just don't think the Eagles are going to do that. That would surprise me. I mean, Joe, you want them to go first-round D-tackle 3 years in a row?
It's all about Jordan Davis. Would I want it?
So you're ready to throw in the towel?
I'm ready to acknowledge that I don't believe Jordan Davis is going to be a quality player for the Eagles for the next 5 years. I'm ready to acknowledge that, and I'm ready to pivot if I need to.
Well, right, and that would be very, very, that'd be a tough blow.
I know it would be. I mean, let me put it this way, Ross. Devontae Smith, if you told me in 2019 the Eagles are going to take a second-round wide receiver, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, 2020 a first-round wide receiver in Jalen Reagor, if you projected that starting in 2019, you would not expect a first-round pick in 2021 at wide receiver. But they had to pivot because those other two guys stunk.
Well, can I say this about that? The difference in my mind is Arcega-Whiteside and Reagor were never good, whereas we've seen Jordan Davis be good. So what I think is interesting, does that make it more frustrating or less frustrating?
Yeah,
the fact that we've seen him play at a high level and we know he can do it, that actually makes me more frustrated, because it's there and he's just not doing, second half of the year, I don't know if his weight went up again. I don't know if he was banged up, but we know he can do it. They need to get it out of him. And whether it's Fangio or the new D-line coach, that's the thing, Joe. They're not going to take a D-tackle in the first round because they've seen Davis can do it, and they're going to hope that the combo of Fangio and the new D-line coach can get it out of him this year. If they can't, then they'll probably take a D-tackle in the first round next year.
Which of these cornerbacks do you like the most for the Eagles, Ross? Is it Mitchell? Is it Arnold? Is it Kool-Aid?
It's definitely not Kool-Aid.
Same.
It's interesting. He kind of got, he came into the year as the number one guy. And everybody was saying, Kool-Aid, he's the number one corner. He's got the length. But he had some rough games. I mean, he had Texas. You were talking about A.D. Mitchell earlier in the show, John. I was listening. A.D. Mitchell kind of ate him up a little bit. He's coming off. I mean, I think he's still a good player, but I like Terrion Arnold. I always have a bias towards guys that are versatile and, have that chip on their shoulder. Yeah. So I really like Terrion Arnold quite
love
a bit.
Attitude.
Sounds like from these reports that maybe the Eagles like Mitchell a lot. Either one of those guys I'd be fine with, but I did the Ole Miss Alabama game, and Terrion Arnold, I was very, very impressed. He is feisty. Like, he would become a fan favorite quickly in Philly.
Yeah. I just love his attitude. He seems different to me. He feels like a Tyrese Maxey, like the over-the-top optimist who's just always working. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I really like the attitude. And then last one from me, the O-lineman. If you had your druthers, we can trade up to go get them. O-linemen that you'd most prefer the Eagles go in the first round.
So that's a tough one for me, and it's between the two Polynesian guys, Talese Fuaga from Oregon State and Fatanu from Washington. Again, we all have our biases, right? Like, the Eagles, their bias is they like guys with ridiculous physical traits. And Fuaga and Fatano have good physical traits. I like guys – I never thought blocking people was fun. I think what's fun – my favorite Eagles offensive lineman is arguably John Runyon. right? Like, that is what I'm looking for. I want a guy that's out there trying to hurt people. I don't mean injure,
yeah,
but I mean physically hurt, punish. I want an enforcer out there, and I see that from Fuaga and Fatanu. Definitely more than Ault and Fashanu. I think Latham has some of that in him as well. But just watching those guys, man, Fuaga will get after you. Fatanu will get after you. So I would love if they got either one of those guys.
All right, Ross, final thing here. It's not really draft. It's not the Eagles at all. But it's Tom Brady, and it's worth asking you because you're plugged into a lot of people on the national level. He floats out there a couple weeks ago, the possibility of him coming back. When he first said it, I thought, it's probably nothing. Mike Florio has gone on the record to say this about that possibility. He said, I don't think it's something that just flew out of his mouth. And I think it was a trial balloon to see if anyone will call him. Just a couple of weeks before the draft, plenty of teams looking for quarterbacks. I think Brady wants to come back. He wants to be pursued. I also connect the dot, Ross, to the fact it's now, you know, near late April, and he still hasn't, no commitment announced that he's going to be announcing Fox games this year. Like, do you think Tom Brady, I mean, Michael Jordan came back 3 years after he retired the second time. 3 years later. Do you think Tom Brady is seriously considering playing pro football again?
No. I would be shocked. I think these guys have realized, whether it's Gronkowski or him, they realized how much value there is in just floating it out there and saying, well, it would have to be the right situation. You know, Gronk does it almost every year. They realize it gets their name in the cycle again. Everybody's talking about them. I know for a fact, Joe, he has spent – I've talked to multiple people about this. He has spent hours upon hours getting ready for this Fox broadcasting gig. He has been at Fox Studios doing multiple mock games with Kevin Burkhart to get ready for this. If he was thinking he was going to play – I just can't imagine. He's like sat in on trucks. He spent time talking with Collinsworth and Romo and all these people. Like, he is super prepared to be a broadcaster because he knows everyone's going to be criticizing him and critiquing him, and he wants to be ready to go. I just can't imagine, because if he really wanted to play, his agent could tell people behind the scenes, hey, he wants to play if you want him, and somebody would sign him, right? Like, I don't know if it's the Broncos or the Vikings. Somebody would sign him. If he really wanted to play, he probably could. I think Devin probably knows, he's really into social media and his brand and growing all those things. And I think he knew that if he said that, you know, I'd be on a Wednesday on WIP Radio in Philly, and he'd be asking me about it.
Exactly. Right. We're talking about him now. So
fascinating info it is. Hey, Ross, great stuff in the weeks leading up to the draft. Obviously, we'll talk to you soon thereafter once this thing is done. Thanks so much, bud.
Sounds great. Have fun. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Reminder, Insider Calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. Well, certainly you can weigh in on the NFL draft and what you think Howie's strategy should be, what it will be, which position or players you most covet, which side of the ball you most covet, and, you know, whether it should be, you know, the get the best player as you projected for the next 10 years or position of need to try to fill some hole, you know, how you size the whole thing up. 215-592-9494. Let's also get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin, your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, who wins the series? We reassess the Sixers-Knicks series now that two games are done. Game three, not tonight, but tomorrow night. Who wins the series? A, Sixers, B, Knicks. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's go to Troy in Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Troy.
What's going on, John, Joe? How y'all feeling, man?
Doing all right, Troy.
Hey, listen, I didn't forget about that dollar I owe you. I still got you. I'm coming to bring it up, Joe.
Well, remind me, because I had forgotten. So what bet did I win?
The Lopez bet.
The Lopez bet. I got you, brother.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah.
You know what they say, Troy? Never bet against
the Hammer!
Oh, Lord.
Now,
here we
go. Might be time to bet against the Sixers, not in an individual game, but in the series. But
yeah, listen, man.
You know what I got? By the way, Troy, you know what I got to start doing? So I'm rewatching The Sopranos. I got to start getting some Paulie Walnuts. He's got a good sound. I could use, like, he's like, eh.
Like, oh.
Yeah, but that's not like the one I'm talking. That's a classic. But I mean, like, that S sound he would make. Like, hey, you know, I'm watching the Sixers game. Do they have a chance to win?
I think that's good.
It's pretty good.
I like you with that noise.
You don't even need it.
It's not a noise
do it
that you make.
Yeah. I could incorporate the eh. You know, like.
I think it's really good.
Like, Troy, do I trust you, Will? Eh. All right, Troy, go ahead.
Listen, man, Joel need to keep his mouth closed, man. I don't want him guarantee anything. Only thing he can guarantee is that he's going to Chick-fil-A get a sandwich. That's
Troy,
about it.
I want him guaranteeing something. I want him putting his name on it. At this point, like, we're 0-2. We got to do something differently. I like that there's more at stake.
But John, his past history isn't back up anything. Anybody, nobody's afraid of him. So what is he backing up? If they win this round, mm-hmm. what's going to happen the next round? You know, it doesn't mean anything. So I mean, his wins are really
is
empty.
Intensity. He's going to have to keep up the toughness, and I am eager to see him try to do that.
Well, Troy,
haven't seen him able to maintain ever.
Look, I'm interested in finding out. You know, I tend to think you're probably right, Troy. I mean, look, to win 17 of these things, and that's what it takes, and they've only won one, if you count the Heat game. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that he can find a way to navigate 17 wins. But I know this.
It's not supposed to be easy.
I think he's trying harder this year than past years. I give him credit. Like, he's wearing down in the fourth quarter, clearly, two games in a row, because he's just not all the way back. I don't think it's a lack of effort this time. I just don't think to this point he's been able to sustain it. And that's got to change quickly. Because if he can't give them the – you know, is this a scenario where every time he plays in the first, you know, next 2 weeks, he runs out of gas in the fourth quarter? Maybe.
No, because
maybe,
he's getting in better basketball shape by playing basketball.
I don't know,
man.
That
does help his cause.
But he looked worse in the fourth quarter 2 days ago than in the fourth quarter of the prior two games.
There's no question he has to stop looking at his knee and treating it like it's an injured knee.
Yeah, but you and I look at it. I think he's physically wearing down within the game. I think there's only
– could see it. But, did you guys see that video of him running back and down?
Correct.
That is not just like fighting through – like, or he's like just got to ignore an injury.
Right.
Like, he's hurt.
James, here's the analogy I'll give. To me, it reminds me of a pitcher in baseball. His 100th to 130th pitches – he's going to have less zip than his first to 30 pitch.
Great comp.
He just doesn't have as much zip by the end of the game.
There's no question.
Third game back, he will have more zip in the fourth quarter than he
has. I don't know that
to be true.
If he's hurt, he might not.
All right, Troy, give us an answer for a great fight scene in a movie.
All right, before I do that, can I just ask a real quick question about the Eagles?
Sure.
So, you know, I heard Ross talk about the heavy on offense for the first couple of picks. Do you guys think that's going to allow us to stay at the 22 spot and get somebody like Turner, or do you think that we're going to package and move up?
I think they will move up because I don't think they're going
to. Howie moves up.
Yeah, he moves up, and I think for the players that most people want, it requires a move up. Give me a fight scene, Troy. What do you got?
All right, my fight scene is Kill Bill, the Bride versus Gogo, and the Crazy 88.
Yeah. Oh, buddy.
I got you.
Great answer.
That scene does get out of control. Let's go to Patrick right now. Patrick, you're on WIP.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing well, Patrick. I'm surprised the Kill Bill scene.
Well,
by
I thought
the
movie fell off by the end of the movie.
Because you blast that movie all the time.
I thought it was good for the first half, bad for the second half.
But that scene is in the second half, and you just said you liked it.
It was absurd. It was absurd in a...
The whole movie.
Agree.
Absurd.
No,
That's
I know.
The point
but
of the movie, which is why it's so awesome.
I just, look, I'm telling you, it was a memorable scene that I could react to. I'll put it that way.
You're crossing it weird right now.
I am crossing it weird.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.